You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Kings podcast right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your hub for Sacramento Kings coverage, conversation, interviews, statistics. We have it all right here for you. If you call yourself a Kings fan, you are in the right place. And it is always easier to do an episode of this podcast following a Sacramento Kings win. My name is Matt George. Welcome back to those loyal listeners and welcome into those who are new. I'm from Sports 1140 KHDK. That is the flagship radio station of the Sacramento Kings. And I work there as an on-air host and a multimedia journalist and reporter, and if you listened to KHDK last night, you would have heard the G-man Gary Gerald call the Kings 132-100 win over Maccabi Haifa, from Israel. Now, I'm going to preface everything that we're going to talk about in this podcast with this. I am aware Maccabi Haifa is not an NBA team, therefore these statistics are inflated a little bit. That being said, I don't believe in holding that against a team who is playing a preseason game, who is trying to workshop things and figure things out. It was the debut of Nemanja Bjelica last night. Regardless of who he's playing, we wanted to see specific things out of him, and we saw that. We saw Buddy Hield playing off the bench last night, very similar to how he did a lot last year, and he did well. So that's something. These are takeaways and things that we're going to pay attention to, regardless of competition. I'm aware that had it been the Boston Celtics wearing green last night, not Maccabi Haifa, it could have been a very, very different story. But again, I'm not holding it against the Kings for the quality of their opponent. Ultimately, the 132-100 final score, putting up 132 points. The Kings had 101 points at the end of the first three quarters. That is what you are supposed to do against worse competition in a showcase game and scrimmage and exhibition like this. So the Kings got the job done last night, and we're going to look at all of the good that came from last night's game. Before we do that, though, sit back, relax, and enjoy these highlights via the G-man Gary Gerald on KHDK of the Kings' win over Maccabi Haifa.
Here's Frank Mason changing direction, sets up the alley-oop. Easy score, Willie Cauley-Stein. Boy, Frank Mason had that one perfectly placed, and that was an easy throwdown for the two-hand flush. 13-11, Kings have the lead. Here's Haifa playing a little dig into the pocket, but a pass is stolen again. Mason on the run, double clutch, goes to the right hand, stick back, Harry Giles off the miss that time. Boy, he was quick off his feet, Jason. That's fun to watch, isn't it?
No doubt, and I think that's, you know, watching him over the last year as he's gotten healthy to now use that quickness and ability, that was fun to see.
Backdoor cut, beautifully executed. You talk about the passing skills of the rookie, Harry Giles. A precision pass and an easy score by Yogi Ferrell to make it 17-15 Sacramento. Haifa with another bad pass and a turnover. Grabbed by Ferrell, leads it out 2-on-1. Alley-oop set up, Marvin Bagley above the iron. Puts the Kings on top, 25-23. That's the way you like to get the quick strike in the open floor. Bjelica with a pair of buckets. Here's a crossover by Childress. Rejected by Bjelica. Grabbed by Cauley-Stein. Bounces it out on the right wing to Buddy Buckets. Sets his feet. Launches for three. He's got the triple. So a pair of three-pointers by Buddy Hield. And the Kings now have their biggest lead of the ballgame. They go up by six at 35-29. Inbounds to Mason. Mason with a spin move to Jackson. Got to fire a 33-foot three, and he hits it. You talk about red-hot three-point shooting. That was a gift, and that was well beyond 30 feet. That was out there on the deep, deep right wing, and he had no choice because after Mason lost the ball, it went right to Justin. He grabbed it, he launched it, and he hit it. Kings lead 52-37. Here's a long lead-out pass. Bjelica streaking up the floor, pulls it in wide receiver style and immediately converted it in one stride. The setup came from near midcourt from Frank Mason. 9 points for Belly. Kings lead 58-39. We've got just over 4 minutes to go here. Kupperberg trying to free up. Oh, a block inside by Bjelica, his third of the ballgame. And it's grabbed now by De'Aaron Fox. Leads it ahead to Mason. He sets it up with a rim. Willie Cauley-Stein with a finish. And there's your sequence of this night at Golden 1 Center. That was stellar work by the Kings. Belly now in the front court, stride and a half above the three-point arc. Left wing feed Jackson, back out to Bjelica. He drives in the lane, hooks it over his shoulder. Jackson is open. He launches. He hits it again. Bjelica making things happen for Sacramento. And Justin Jackson, who hadn't been able to score worth a lick in the preseason, now has 18 points. Here's another steal by Mason. Over the shoulder, blind pass ahead. Buddy Hield streaks to the basket for the layup. How about that pass from Frank Mason for the assist from the deep backcourt? Totally back to the basket. Two hand over his head. Threw it to the open floor, tracked down by Hield, who immediately converted. Bagley takes it up the floor. Dangerous pass, but grabbed successfully by Buddy Hield. Looks for Giles down the lane. Finger rolls it to the rim. Now I'm going to go way back in time with George Gervin, the Iceman. I think he would have appreciated that little finger roll right there by Harry Giles. Hield on the far wing. Comes to the top of the foul circle. Gives to Giles. Back to Buddy. Giles sets the pick. Flashes inside. There's the pass. Behind the back. Wraparound pass on the bounce. Goes to Bagley for the flush on the baseline. What a sensational pass from Harry Giles. Man, does this kid have skills. Marvin Bagley says, feed me.
So there you go, the G-Man's call over the Sacramento Kings win last night inside the Golden 1 Center. Our thanks to the Sacramento Kings and the Kings Radio Network and KHDK for allowing us to use those highlights here on the Locked On Kings podcast. Let's talk about the good from this game before we break into really specifically what I want to talk about, and that's lineups and rotations. Let's start with defense, because we know the Kings have struggled and have been a bad defensive team. The bad from last night. Maccabi Haifa still, for the majority of the game, shot over 50%, and were getting far too easy looks at times, especially in the first half. The Kings, and as head coach Dave Yeager said, did a much better job in the second half, being more physical on the defensive end of the floor, really asserting their dominance and putting pressure on the Maccabi Haifa ball handlers. So things improved, but statistically, if you look away from the shooting percentage, now Maccabi Haifa ended up shooting 44% for the game. If you were just to look at that, you would think, okay, the Kings had an average defensive day. In reality, Maccabi Haifa shot over 50% for the majority of the game, which is not good. However, what is good is that the Kings defense forced 22 turnovers, 16 steals, and 12 blocks. The rim protection was there. Nemanja Bjelica looked fantastic on rotation defense. Marvin Bagley had a block himself. Harry Giles had four blocks. The Kings did a great job protecting the rim yesterday, which was a welcome sight to see. The steals are great as well because it allowed them to get out on the fast break. And boy, did the Kings get out on the fast break with abandon. 30 fast break points. It was at the final box score. That was their total. And in my opinion, that isn't correct. I remember seeing plenty of times where the Kings were stuck on around 17 fast break points for a large margin of the game when there were clearly fast break buckets that had taken place. So the NBA statisticians, they do a phenomenal job and they have a lot to follow and a lot to look at. And also it's preseason, so it's not all that important. But the Kings finished with 30 fast break points, which is fantastic. And in my opinion, they got even more than that the stat sheet didn't account for. What I also love was the ball movement. 36 assists to only 12 turnovers. The Kings did very, very well to assist on the majority of their baskets. Ball movement was great, working the ball around the perimeter. Inside-outside game, they're allowing themselves to open up the game to where when Maccabi Haifa would focus on one area, whether it was protecting the paint, the Kings would abuse them from the perimeter. If they stepped out on the perimeter, the Kings were getting to the basket. They did a good job opening up their game and forcing the defense to make a decision and then attacking the weakness of that decision, which was very good to see. 53% shooting from the field. And guys, we've seen it all preseason long, which is such a breath of fresh air. And I tweeted it out last night. The Sacramento Kings are a three-point shooting team now, and it's so wonderful to say. It's so awesome to watch. Kings went 13 of 29 from three-point range. If the open three is there, whether it's in transition or in the half-court offense, you're seeing Yeager and the Kings encouraging each other to shoot it, and a lot of times it's paying dividends. Again, 13 three-pointers last night for the Sacramento Kings. Now, a lot of those belonged to Buddy Hield, and what was interesting is the Sacramento Kings starting lineup last night. So we're going to focus on last night's starting lineup, and then towards the end of the podcast, I'm going to dive into what I think the minutes distribution should be. But Dave Yeager rolled out an interesting starting lineup last night. Again, Nemanja Bjelica making his debut threw a wrench into things. Also, remember, Bogdan Bogdanović is out and will be out until early November or mid-November at the absolute worst. So the starting lineup last night was De'Aaron Fox at the point guard. No surprise there. Frank Mason as the two guard, replacing Buddy Hield, which is surprising. Frank Mason, normally a ball-dominant point guard and a scoring point guard himself, but actually did pretty well in that spot. At the three was Justin Jackson, who you got to give him credit. Justin Jackson had a great game last night, got off to a bit of a slow start, but managed to find his shooting stroke, which was much needed for him. And then at the power forward and center positions, you had Nemanja Bjelica playing the stretch four and Willie Cauley-Stein playing the five. We talked about and we heard that Nemanja Bjelica is capable of playing the three to some extent. Dave Yeager said pregame that he feels more confident playing Bjelica as a stretch four, and immediately you could see the effect that he had. And De'Aaron Fox said so after the game. He said that just having Bjelica on the floor opens up the offense so much and makes things a lot more smooth. The Kings have been lacking a stretch four for quite some time, and just having Bjelica in the corner or at the wing opened up so much space for Fox to work and for the Kings to try and attack the basket. Gave a lot of opportunity to Frank Mason as well. I loved Nemanja Bjelica as a stretch four. I don't necessarily know where or how much time he's going to be getting at that position on a nightly basis. But with him on the floor, especially alongside De'Aaron Fox, we saw a couple of connections of Fox attacking the basket. As soon as the defense rotated to try and crash on him, he kicked out to a wide open Bjelica for three. It was music to my ears, beautiful for my eyes to watch, and Bjelica looked more than confident from the outside. So Nemanja Bjelica having a great game. I mentioned Frank Mason starting at the two. I actually spoke with him following the game, and he told me that was unusual that he play off the ball. He's not used to it whatsoever, but he's more than capable of playing at that spot. And in fact, he actually enjoys playing alongside De'Aaron Fox, because if you think about it, both of them being ball dominant point guards don't get to play much together. But Frank Mason enjoyed really his main role at that point. De'Aaron was still running the offense and moving the rock, and it was up to Frank Mason to be more of that scoring guard role, which he excels in. So I like to see that from Frank, getting those opportunities at that spot. Justin Jackson, in my opinion, is just a placeholder. Yes, he did have a good game last night, but he is just holding the spot for when Bogdan Bogdanović comes back. Like I said, Nemanja Bjelica playing at the four. Will be interesting to see if he consistently is going to be starting at that spot on a nightly basis, or if Marvin Bagley works his way into that. Maybe Zach Randolph. I hope not, but maybe Zach Randolph sneaks his way in. And then I think we can pretty confidently say that Willie Cauley-Stein is going to be at the five. Earlier today, James Hamm, NBC Insider, or Insider Kings Insider for NBCSN, did a live stream, and he was answering fan questions. And one of the things that he said was that he wouldn't be surprised at all, and actually almost expects the lineup that we saw last night to be the lineup that Yeager goes forward with, at least to open up the season, which means we're seeing Frank Mason playing at that two spot, which means we're seeing Buddy Hield come off the bench. Now, I, for one, want to see Buddy Hield as a starter. However, I understand starting lineups are just ceremonial. Ultimately, Buddy Hield will be the one on the floor, should be the one on the floor in closing time. And even if Frank Mason is starting over Buddy Hield at the two spot, Buddy is going to be playing the majority of minutes. And something about Buddy Hield coming off the bench, his offense just looks so much more smooth. He was shooting with confidence. The Kings got off to a slow offensive start. He was really the one to get some energy underneath him. A plethora of transition threes. I think in a 2 or 3 minute standpoint, he hit 3 or 4 of them. He just looks so much more confident and relaxed when he comes off the bench in that six-man volume scorer role, which if that's what he needs to do and that's where he's at his best, that's where you're going to play him. And it seems like Dave Yeager is focusing on that area. And speaking of Dave Yeager, he said some very interesting things following the game. James Hamm asked him about his rotations and if this group was going to be the group that would be starting. And Yeager, who likes to play the cards close to his chest, basically said that it may or not be, or may or may not be, that lineup that we saw. However, the candidates have been chosen. So what does that mean for me, or what did that suggest to me? First and foremost, that suggests that Scalabissiere does not have a spot on this team. Now, that hurts, and that's unfortunate to say because I'm a fan of Scal, and I think he has a lot to offer, but consider the position that he was in last night. Scalabissiere didn't play until the tail end of the fourth quarter with the third string guys like Wenyen Gabriel, and at that point, the game was already put away. So that's typically where you put your prospects. And that's where we saw Jorgis Papiyannis playing over the past couple of years. Now, I'm not saying Scalabissiere is as bad as Jorgis Papiyannis. Please don't read that far into it. But what I am saying is that, to me, Dave Yeager has made it clear that there is just not a spot in his rotation for Scal. And now you have to remember, Nemanja Bjelica is back, and if Yeager really truly sees him as a stretch four, that's a spot taken away from Scal. Kosta Kufos and Zach Randolph haven't played at all yet. I expect one of the two of them to be getting some consistent minutes on a nightly basis, so there's another spot taken. He's also behind Willie Cauley-Stein, if you want to play him at the five. He's behind Harry Giles and Marvin Bagley. Simply put, there's just not a spot for Scalabissiere in this rotation, and I think we all knew that going into preseason, and then once we saw him playing as a starter in a couple preseason games earlier on, we had maybe a false hope that there was going to be opportunity for him. In my opinion, the reality is that just simply is not the case. Scalabissiere is not going to be playing. So that leads me to what I wanted to really dive into, and that's a minutes distribution. Now, I said so earlier, that is not who starts that's important. Starting lineups are just ceremonial. It's who's finishing the game, and it's the total amount of minutes that is important. So here, I tweeted this out earlier. Here is how I think the minutes distribution should look like, or what it should look like. Now, these are rough estimates, rough drafts, but this just gives you an idea of what my rotation would look like in terms of minute distribution. The number one player in terms of minutes played per night should be De'Aaron Fox, and it shouldn't be close, and I think it's going to be that will be the case. Dave Yeager has already hinted at that, or that's probably one of the areas that Yeager has been the most transparent so far. De'Aaron Fox, in my opinion, should be playing upwards of 32 to 35 minutes a night. Then Buddy Hield, even if he's not a starter, should be playing 28 to 31 minutes a night. When Bogdan Bogdanović comes back, I expect him to slide in at that starting small forward spot. Even if Frank Mason is still starting at the two and replace Justin Jackson, Bogey will be playing 29 to 32 minutes a night, or at least I want him to. Marvin Bagley, even if he's coming off the bench, will be playing, in my opinion, 27 to 30 minutes a night. Willie Cauley-Stein should also be playing around 27 to 30 minutes a night. Harry Giles off the bench, I would like to see him playing around 25 to 28 minutes a night. Nemanja Bjelica, whether he's a starter or coming off the bench as a three or a four, playing around 20 to 23 minutes a night. Kosta Kufos and Yogi Ferrell, both around 12 to 15 minutes a night. And then Frank Mason, even though he is a starter, I wouldn't expect him to be playing more than 10 to 13 minutes a night. That leaves Justin Jackson, Zach Randolph, Ben McLemore, Scalabissiere, and Iman Shumpert, all five of them, I put a big goose egg on it. In my opinion, you just can't have a rotation that is that thick. Now, that might be different towards the start of the season. Like we said, we might be seeing Justin Jackson starting at the three until Bogey comes back. But assuming this team is completely healthy, this is just how I would break down and my minutes distribution would look like. I'm curious if yours would look the same. You can tweet me right now at MattGeorgeKHTK if you want to share your rotation and minute distribution, or you can email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com. I've been getting email after email after email from you guys. It's been fantastic. Multiple emails from international, a bunch of emails from Australia. Thank you so much for our international audience, whether it's in Europe, it's in Australia, it's in Africa as well, South Africa. A lot of you listen, so I'm very touched by that and thankful for that. And I want to tell each and every single one of you, and I hope Kings fans here in Sacramento feel the same way, you are just as big of fans and as much a part of this fan base as I am and my neighbors are here in Sacramento. So I'm proud of you for choosing to support the team and when everything is literally against you in terms of time, when the games are on, the fact that the Kings aren't very good. I respect the hell out of each and every single one of you who live internationally that follow this team as religiously as you do, and I'm so thankful that you call this podcast home. I wanted to let you know that on YouTube right now, I am doing a NBA 2K19 My GM series. Now, if that's something you are interested in to see how I would run the team, that's something that I would love for you to tune into. My YouTube channel is Matt George Sports. If you just look up Matt George Sports on YouTube, also if you go to my Twitter, you'll find a link to it there. And there you can see how I would run the Sacramento Kings if it was 2K and in the fantasy realm. I have some fun with that, so if anybody's interested, you can check that out. I also stream games live on Twitch from time to time. You can find my Twitch channel, Matt George KHTK on Twitch. Also, I'm going to be doing a simulation series on 2K, which is just simulating the simulating the regular season week by week as we go through to see how 2K predicts the NBA will go, and we'll compare that to how it actually goes. That'll be something that I will bring to this podcast on this podcast format. It'll be like a Simulation Monday type thing. So once we get into that, I for sure will be letting you know how you can follow that. I think it's always fun to compare simulations to real life and see how close they are and how far off they are. So I hope you will enjoy that. Going to be starting that up very soon. Also, I'm excited to announce we had a meeting about it today, and it's going to be kicking off with the start of the season that I'm going to be doing what's called the Blind Optimist Challenges for Sports 1140 KHDK. On the morning show, Carmichael Dave and Kyle Madsen labeled me a blind optimist. Now, that's tongue-in-cheek. They don't actually think I'm a blind optimist. At least I hope they don't think I am. But I took that mantra and I doubled down on it. I like it. I've always been positive about this team. I love this team, and I've loved this team growing up. So I wanted to make it something fun that we could carry out throughout the regular season. So how it's going to work is there are going to be certain bets that I make throughout the season periodically. And for example, if a bet on opening night would be, and this might be the one that we go to, that Marvin Bagley in his official NBA debut on opening night will score more points than Luka Doncic does in his official NBA debut. Now, it's topical. It's fun to follow. If I'm right, if I win, then I get bragging rights, and then we all win because Marvin Bagley looked better, and hopefully it's in a Kings win over the Utah Jazz. Now, if I lose, there's going to be a wheel of punishments that live on the air the following morning. We will spin that wheel and find out, and there'll be different things, all sorts of embarrassing punishments, physical activities that I have to do, public humiliation stuff, just fun stuff that we will have to do. Also, I should mention, if I ever win, I get a get-out-of-jail-free card. So these are going to happen periodically throughout the season. Some fun things to follow. Again, the Blind Optimist Challenge, and you can check out more of that on khdk.com, and I will share the results and the bets with you right here on the Locked On Kings podcast. If you are interested, please tweet me or email me any ideas for bets or any ideas for punishments that I should make or have throughout this season. Those should be coming in a lot, and you can also actively follow that on KHDK. If you're interested, just download the KHDK app and listen to The Drive 6 to 9 a.m. every single morning there. Finally, I know I've said this a million times, but I would certainly appreciate everybody who goes to our iTunes page or in the iTunes store where you can listen and download the Locked On Kings podcast. If you can leave a review there out of 5 stars, if you don't have an iTunes account, you can just create one really, really quickly. Out of 5 stars, leave a review. It could be anything, and then leave a little verbal review of what you like, what you don't like about the podcast. That helps us in 2 ways. One, it helps us improve and get better, and also it helps us in terms of traffic. As the Kings regular season gets going or gets started here, I'm hoping to have more and more Kings fans like yourself joining this conversation, joining this podcast network and this podcast family. So if you could leave a review there and then share this podcast with your fellow Kings fan friends, that would help us out a lot. I appreciate each and every single one of you. Truly am humbled by all the reaction that I get. Got to meet a lot of you last night also at the Golden One Center. I'll be continuing that all season long. If you are at the game and you want to meet me or want to have a conversation with me, believe me, I want to meet you more than you want to meet me. You can email me, mgeorge@sacklocalmedia.com, or you can tweet me at @MattGeorgeKHDK, and I will do everything I can to set up a meeting so that I can chat with you, shake your hand, maybe buy you a beer or something before the game starts, or even after the game if I have time. Thank you so much to everybody listening. I appreciate your support as always. We will be back for another episode tomorrow right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Until then, my name is Matt George. Thank you for listening to Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.